Well, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, I pray that your Spirit would lead me today as I deliver your word to these people today. Father, I pray that this word would be heard and that those who hear it would receive it with gladness and joy and that they would apply it to their lives, Lord. I lift this now into your hands, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So for today's message, I'd like to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture that many of us have probably heard before. It'll be the 10th chapter of Mark. So Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles with you. And it'll be verses 17 to 31. This story is known as Jesus and the Rich Young Ruler. It says, "Now as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were astonished in his words. But Jesus answered again and said to him, 'Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.' Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and the children and the lands with persecutions and the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.'" So in this text, we have Jesus, and he is on this road traveling towards Jerusalem. And we see in this text that there's this man that sees Jesus on the road, and he runs to him, and he kneels before Jesus' feet, and he calls him good teacher. And we find out in the other Gospels of Matthew and Luke that this young man was a rich ruler. So we have this rich young ruler who sees Jesus. He runs to him, he bows at his feet, calls him good teacher, and he asks him this important question: what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So it would seem that this rich young ruler is doing a lot of good things, a lot of things that are right. He sees Jesus. He runs to him. He kneels before him. He calls him a good teacher. He then asks him and turns to the right person and says, how can I obtain eternal life? So it even shows that this rich young ruler understood that eternal life, he couldn't just take for granted. It wasn't just given. But then he asked this question, and it's just so interesting when we see how Jesus responds to this young man. See, he responds by saying two things to him. He first responds to his question with another question. He says, why do you call me good? There's only one good, that is God. And then the second, he reminds him of the law. So he says, only God is good, and keep the commandments. And at first glance, you might think to yourself, well, is Jesus denying his divinity? Is he saying that he's not God? Or is he saying that you can be saved if you do good works and if you follow the law perfectly? See, at first glance, you might think that that's what Jesus is saying. And I want to take each of these concerns one at a time. The first one is no, Jesus is not denying his deity in this text. Jesus is asking the rich young ruler, why is it that he calls him good? Because he wants to clarify who he is. He wanted them to know that whenever you say good teacher, he doesn't know how right he is when he calls him the good teacher. Because he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that only God is ultimately good. God is the defining standard of goodness and righteousness. So whenever this rich young ruler calls him good teacher, he is recognizing that Christ is God. And that's what Jesus wants to make clear here. So this is an essential truth that everyone should understand and believe, that God is ultimately good. He is the standard of morality. But it's important for us to hear this because so many times in our lives, we can easily have a relative standard of goodness. Typically, as sinful people, as people who have fallen short, we like to make our standard usually based upon ourselves. We like to look at others and compare them to us. And if they don't follow how we look at life, then they are less good. Or we look to someone that we idolize, and we think if they aren't like that person, then they aren't good. But Jesus wanted to be very clear. It's not your goodness. It's not your standard. It is God's standard. God is the only one, and apart from him, there's no one good. And then from there, we see that Jesus calls him to look at the law, and he quotes some of the commandments. The reason Jesus does this is not to preach works righteousness, that if you do good things, you're saved. What he's doing is the law reveals the truth. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 26, we see the purpose of the law. See, the law was given to us to be a tutor, to be a teacher, a schoolmaster. It's supposed to be something that points us and leads us to the truth. And that truth is that all of us, everyone that hears my voice, is in need of salvation, is in need of a Savior. And we see in Galatians chapter 3 that that Savior is Jesus Christ. So when Jesus is calling this young man to ask and consider why he is saying or calling Jesus good, he wants to remind him of the standard of good, and he wanted to point him to the law so that he would recognize that we all fall short of the law. None of us can fulfill it perfectly. And this is supposed to point us to him. However, when Jesus says this to the young man, and we look at his response, it's funny. You see, he claims perfect obedience to the law. He says, "Teacher, I have followed and obeyed this since my youth." And we don't know exactly what was going through this young man's mind. We don't know if he maybe was mistaken or ignorant to his own fallen shortcomings, or if he was intentionally being deceitful. We don't truly know why he said that he obeyed it perfectly. Maybe he thought he did. We just don't know. But Jesus, when he hears him say this, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't really argue or dispute this fact. I know so many of us, when we hear someone say something like this, we can easily just capitalize on that one point and just really start to argue with them. But I just love to see what Jesus does here. Anytime you can see a little side note of something that Jesus does before he says something, I think it just gives us great insight to God and his character. See, Jesus just gave him a lesson about God's goodness and the law. And then he says, "I'm perfect. I lived the perfect, obedient life to the law." And Jesus, he looks at this man, it says. It says Jesus looked at him, and it says he loved him. Jesus looked intentionally, deeply at this man on this road, and he loved him. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that even when we think we have it all figured out, when we think we just are just so right on something, but we could be so far off base, that we have a God, when we act like that, he looks at you, and he loves you. That's what Jesus shows us in this text. We can be so far off base, but he looks at you. He sees you as a person with value and dignity, and he loves you. So instead of disputing this young man, because of his love for this young man, he tests him. He challenges him. He says, "There's just one thing you lack." He says, "Go. Sell your possessions and follow me." See, this is a pretty radical command by Jesus. This young man is called to uproot his entire life. He had many possessions. He was called to give it all up, to give it to the poor, to risk everything, and to follow Jesus. But I want to be clear here. Jesus does call this young man to sell his possessions and to follow him. But this is not necessarily a universal command for the church. Poverty is not holiness. There are some teachings that can creep into the church in which we think that to be holy or for God to love us, we have to become poor. We have to give up everything to charity, everything to a mission. We can't have anything or enjoy anything in life. That's not what Jesus is saying here. There might be some of you who God is calling to do what he's calling the young rich ruler to do. But I want to be clear, this is not the poverty gospel. Jesus doesn't expect you to just uproot everything and just follow him and be poor on the street. Instead, the reason Jesus calls this young rich ruler to do this is he is checking his heart. He wanted to see if his heart was in the right place. See, God isn't necessarily calling us to give up all of our possessions, but we need to be able to if he does. And that's why he was asking this young man to do this. He wanted to know if he would obey the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you have God standing in front of you and he's saying, "Follow me, give up your possessions," we should do so. And this was the dilemma that the young man had. Should I forsake everything and follow him? See, that's what the mistake was for the young man. He focused on the first part and neglected the second. He was so caught up with the idea of giving up his possessions that he couldn't see right in front of him. Jesus on the road is saying, follow me. And this can happen in our lives as well. Are you someone who is willing to forsake all else for the sake of following Christ? Is there anything that you are saying no to Jesus about in your life? Because this young man, he was unable to forsake all else and follow him. Can you just imagine being on that road that day to see Jesus and his disciples walking down, and you run to him, you kneel before him, you see him, and he says, follow me. What if Jesus was here today and he was asking you to follow him? Because guess what? Jesus is here today. The presence of God is here with us. And he is asking that very same thing to each and every one of you. Are you going to be that young man on the road? Or are you going to hear this call today? Jesus is saying to you, follow me. Trust me. Believe in me. Place your faith in me. Love me. Jesus is asking you to do it. See, the young man, what did he do? He was sorrowful and he went away. Where is that young rich ruler today? We don't hear much about him now, do we? We don't even know his actual name. But we do know that the result of walking away from Christ is sorrow and despair. Billy Graham once said, you never see someone walk away from Christ and be happy about it. We don't want to be like this young rich ruler. So we need to follow Christ today. But there might be some of you out there who are saying they are following Christ, but you have the heart of the young rich ruler. You like the idea of following him. You like the idea of inheriting eternal life. You like the kingdom of God. But you like it only until it gets difficult for you. See, you want the reward without the sacrifice. But what did Jesus say to this young man? He says, take up the cross. Follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. You have to be willing to sacrifice for this eternal reward. If you want Christ, you have to be willing to give up your sins. You have to be willing to give up your preferences, to give up the comfort of life. You have to be content in Christ alone. So there's that question for you. Are you able to sacrifice anything and everything if Christ calls you to? Because this young rich ruler, he allowed the deceitfulness of riches to entrap his heart. And I know that it can be easy for us to think of this young man as foolish or ignorant because it was a long time ago and he must have been really rich. But to America's standard, or to the world's standard, America is pretty well off, pretty rich. And I think there's many of us who might go by this story and think, well, this doesn't really apply to me. You know, wealth and riches haven't caught my heart. Well, I want you to reflect on that. Where is your faith? Is your faith in materials? Is your faith in your riches and your wealth? Or is it in God? What do you depend on? Do you think that you can be fulfilled through being very successful with your finances and your job? Because there are many of us who act as if that is the case. Right now, we're going through a hard season in this entire world in which many people are struggling financially. But is this leading you to have despair? Are you starting to doubt God because of your finances? See, if the finances are dictating your emotions, you are allowing your finances to entrap your heart. Are you someone that thinks, because I am well off, that I somehow am better than others? That I have a higher status, I have more value, I am more significant? Your status doesn't change with your income. Or do you think, because you might not have as much as your neighbor, that somehow you are less significant, that you aren't as important? See, the deceitfulness of riches can take many forms. And we have to be careful. And that's why Jesus gives this warning. He warns us that material wealth can hinder your spiritual health. So we are called then to make sure that if God blesses us with much, that we continue to give much, that there's nothing that we hold and keep from Christ. We have to recognize that anything we've been given was just a blessing from God. So we must choose the spiritual over the material. You are not just a material being. You are material and spiritual. And there's a battle that is going on in yourself. And you have to choose daily to take up that cross, to choose the spiritual and to follow Jesus. And then, as we said, this young man walked away. And the disciples are there watching this whole thing unfold. And it says here that the disciples were astonished by this fact and by this teaching. They said, there's this young, successful man. He has all of this wealth. He has been blessed by God, it seems. And you're saying that he isn't going to enter the kingdom of heaven? See, in the Jewish tradition, they would view a lot of wealth, a lot of prominence as a blessing bestowed upon them from God. And likewise, I think we would recognize that in a lot of ways. God has been good to me many times in my life. He has blessed me with certain things. But the disciples translated these physical material blessings. They translated that to, he has a direct in to the kingdom. He just immediately is going to have eternal life. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not the case. So the disciples were astonished by this fact, and they said, who then can be saved? If the rich can't, if the highest of our class can't, then what hope do we have? And that's when Jesus says this, it is impossible with man. No one can save himself. You cannot save yourself. You can trust in your possessions, your money, anything you want. But if it's not Christ, you won't be saved. But then he says, God makes things possible. Is there anything that you find impossible in your life? Well, God can make those things possible. God made the impossible possible through the gospel. Man was stuck in his sins, and we were all guilty. But God became flesh. He sent his son to come to die on the cross for our sins, so that if you turn from your sins, you place your faith in him, you follow him as your Lord and your Savior, then you will be saved. You will have eternal life. You will be able to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus says to his disciples, that's exactly what you're doing. Because they were all worried and astonished, but they were following him. So if you are someone who has trusted and followed Christ, take comfort. You're following. Keep doing it. Keep pressing on. Follow him. He'll take care of you. He loves you. So all you must do is follow Christ. If there's anyone here today who is not taken that step of faith and said, yes, I want to follow him. I'm going to ask you to do that today. So are you ready to follow Christ? If so, I want you to say this prayer with me today. And if you would all bow your heads with me. And if you are someone who is ready to follow Christ today, say in your heart, in your mind, this prayer. God, I come to you. I humbly seek salvation through you. I am a sinner. I have fallen short, but I want to turn from my sins. I want to be forgiven by you. I want to place my faith in you today as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to this earth and gave himself for me. He died on the cross for my sins. And I want to take that step today in obedience. I want to follow you. I want to inherit eternal life. I want to be in a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are someone that said that prayer today in your heart, I would like for you to contact me so that we can move forward with your spiritual life as you continue to go on this journey with Christ. Because your life will be transformed from this moment on. If you truly meant it and said it in your heart, go to our website at fellowshipinchrist.org. The phone number is there. I'd love for you to contact me, and I would love to have some more conversations with you. And when the doors will open up again, I would love for us to talk about baptizing you, to show your public demonstration that you are now with Christ. So I hope this word has found you well today. Let us close with one more prayer. Father, thank you for this time to be in your word. I pray that this word has touched and transformed lives today. I pray that we would go out and that we wouldn't be stagnant in our faith, but we would actively pursue you, follow you wherever you lead us, Lord. And if it's ever that you're in your will, that you are calling us to forsake all else, give it all up, I pray that none of us would hesitate, but that we would commit to you and be faithful. Thank you for sending us your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.